Okay. All right, now I'm going to read a bunch of verses here. So if you want to try to keep up, I'll kind of poke along with the verse reading. A lot of it's in Luke and then in Acts. That's where they're at. And then I got one verse in 1 Corinthians, so it'd be easy to follow. You're not going back and forth. You just listen to that. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. It's right to the end of chapter 4 of Luke. We're going to talk about preaching the kingdom of God. You'll notice it in all of these verses. There are more verses. I didn't get them all. I just got a few. But I think the few we've got here shows clearly the thought that I want to get across to you tonight here. Luke 4, 43. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore am I sent. I must preach the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and shewing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, preaching the kingdom of God. Luke 9, verse 2. Luke 9, verse 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. To preach the kingdom of God. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God. Go preach the kingdom of God. He didn't say go win souls. He didn't say, you know, go get people saved. He didn't say go preach the gospel. He said go preach the kingdom. Luke 9, verse 11. Look down there. 9:11. How about that? And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them. Jesus had got away from him. He took the disciples and went to another place to get away from the crowd. But they knew it, and they followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. That's the primary thing always. It's not the healing. It's not the feeding. It's not the miracles. It's not anything else. The main thing that the Bible always mentions is preaching the kingdom. Verse 60 of chapter 9, Luke 9, 60. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Did you ever notice it was in there that much? I never did. I focused on, you know, let the dead bury the dead. That's what we always focus on. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. That's the positive. See, that's the command. Let the dead bury their dead. And we get stuck there. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. All right, Luke 16, 16, 16, 16. You got to turn a few pages, but it says there, Luke 16, 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Since John, up until John the Baptist, it was the law and the prophets. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. There's something different, isn't there? There's something, a greater revelation, isn't there? Yep. Yes, sir. You better believe it. That's why there's a New Testament. That's why we have the new covenant with better sacrifices and better promises and better everything. It's a fuller revelation. The revelation of Christ and God and God's plan of atonement and everything has been progressing all through the ages. All the way from Adam, it gets fuller and fuller and fuller until Christ came to this earth. And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. We don't preach the law and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. We don't preach that. We preach the kingdom of God. It's very clear. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Acts 1, verse 3. to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. After Jesus rose from the dead, he spent the next 40 days speaking to the disciples about the kingdom of God. Still, before he was crucified, after he was crucified, time is short, time's precious. Little time to say what needs to be said. What's he talking about? The kingdom of God. He spoke to them concerning the kingdom of God, of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Acts 8, verse 12. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. When they believed what? What did they believe first? They believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. Philip was preaching the kingdom of God, just like Christ instructed him to, just like Christ preached. Amen. All right, now then, let's see here. Acts 19 and verse 8. Acts 19, verse 8. Now this is on down the road. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now who's this? Who's this doing this? Paul, Apostle Paul. What's he preaching? When he gets a chance to go into the synagogue and teach these people, what's he talking to them about? The kingdom of God. He spent 3 months preaching to them about the kingdom of God. All right, Acts 20, verse 25. I've just got about three more. Acts 20, 25. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Now that's after the fact. 19, verse 8 there, we just read, he was there for 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Then when he says, and now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I've been preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. He confirms what he was preaching to these people about. Acts 28, verse 23. Acts 28, verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him, into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So you see how Moses, the law, and the prophets go right along with it? We don't preach the law and the prophets. We've got a fuller revelation. But they testify of him. See? And persuading concerning the things concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. But what's he talking to them about? The kingdom of God. And one more, Acts 28, verse 30 and 31. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. All right. Then I'll just read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity again to preach your word. Pray you'd help us. Pray you'd help us to be able to say these things clearly and not make them understandable. And be right when in the things that I say. I pray everybody be able to listen. Pray you'd strengthen, quicken the minds and hearts of everybody here, that they'd be able to take it in and receive it and take it into their very being and get this. This is important, Lord. Pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now then, the message of the gospel. Now, it's just going to be simple, and I'll hurry. The message of the gospel has been pared down to something far less than what John the Baptist, Jesus, and the apostles preached. We don't preach the kingdom of God anymore. We preach a different kind of a gospel. It's been reduced. It's been condensed. A lot of it's been left out too. We leave the wrong impression about the gospel on people. We have the wrong conception of the gospel in our own minds. We think in too narrow of an area. We think in the area of salvation and sin and profession of faith, and we think in the area of what God has done for me. We think in the area of how wonderful it is to be a Christian and how much better my life is. We think in carnal, worldly terms. That's just what it boils right down to. We think in selfish terms. It's become about nothing more than individual going to heaven when he dies. Now that's what the gospel has come down to with most independent Baptists and everybody else. It's just, that's what it means. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. Do you want to go to heaven when you die? Do you know you're going to heaven when you die? That's not the kingdom of God. You're not preaching the kingdom of God. It's kind of a selfish gospel that's being preached. It's all about you. It's all about us. It's all about what's best for us, what's better for us. It's all about us being able to escape the punishment for our sin. And the focus has been reassigned to the individual rather than to the Lord and the whole picture of what he's done to redeem sinful man and the future that he has planned for those who've been redeemed. The kingdom of God includes it all. I mean, it goes to the end of this thing. It's the big view. And we don't have the big view anymore. How many of you spend much time today thinking about eternity? But thinking about facing God one of these days. Thinking about what eternity is going to be like. Ruling and reigning with Christ. We don't think about that, do we? We just think about our daily problems and burdens and drudgery, and we just always asking God for help, and we're thankful for the good things that he gives us and the prayers he answers, and that we just live in this earthly realm, and we don't, with our nose to the ground, very seldom ever looking up or thinking in any higher plane. Rather than being something that brings glory to God, the gospel message has become primarily something that benefits sinful people. Yep. God used to be the focus. I seen where somebody asked, I think it's Trina, asked him, what does old-time religion mean? Trying to get preachers to tell her what old-time religion, what they mean when they say old-time religion. Well, we're a long ways from real old-time religion, let me tell you that. Well, you read the book of Acts, that's old-time religion. You know, it's not a cultural thing. It's not, when they say that, they're thinking about, 40, 50 years ago in some meeting they was in that they did a lot of shouting and that's old-time religion. Old-time religion goes all the way back to here. They preached a different message than what is preached today. Yeah. They talk about old-time religion in the South and they're thinking about hell, fire, and damnation preaching. Well, this would make me a heretic, but let me tell you something. If the only reason that you got saved was because you were scared of going to hell, I wonder about you. How does Jesus have the preeminence in that? How's he exalted in that? When the focus is, you better do it now. You better get to this altar now. You're going to bust hell wide open. Might be your last chance. You may walk out of here and tell you all kinds of stories about people that walked out of a service and got crashed into a telephone pole. Burn up in a car. It was their last chance and they missed it. And scare you into coming to the altar and doing something so you don't end up in hell. That's not the gospel. Paul preached the kingdom of God and persuaded them concerning Jesus Christ. Here it is. He is the king. Now that's preaching him like he is. He's the king. King of kings and the Lord of lords. I got some verses to read here and a little bit about that. But we don't preach the gospel like that. The focus is on the sinner. And the focus ought to be on the Savior. And I don't know how well you can get that, but you really do need to get that. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me, myself. That's the way people get saved. They come to Jesus. In the New Testament, they always brought them to Jesus. And he did the saving. They didn't preach to them about where they were, and the focus wasn't on the sinner. The focus was on the Savior. That's the kingdom of God and the things concerning Jesus Christ. That's what they preached. It's what Peter preached. What Paul preached. It's what Jesus preached. John the Baptist preached it too. That's why he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He presented Christ to the world as the Savior of the world. He preached the kingdom of God. Rather than being something that brings glory to God, the gospel has become primarily something that benefits sinful people. That's the way it's all looked at now, is that it's just a great benefit to your life to be saved, you know, to become a Christian. Let's put it that way. That's the way they'd rather say it. This being saved is kind of, you know, that's kind of archaic and old-fashioned and out of style. And really, they don't like those kind of words, be saved. You don't hear that much anymore, do you? You hear about becoming a Christian. Yeah. You hear about becoming a believer. Becoming a part of the fellowship. But ain't very many people use those old-fashioned words like saved, like the Bible says. What must I do to be saved? How do I become a Christian? That ain't what he said. He said, what must I do to be saved? But it's all about us. It's how it benefits us, how it could improve our life. In fact, the modern gospel has become something that excuses sin instead of the life-changing power that delivers from sin. It excuses sin. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, everybody has this view of the gospel is just your letter of excuse. Like you have to take to the school or to your work whenever you're sick. You have to have a doctor's excuse. Well, the gospel's just your sin excuse, you know. Get out of hell free card sort of a thing. You believe the gospel, you're still a sinner. You're all wicked. We're all wicked. We're still sinful, but we just don't have to go to hell because of it. That's the way everybody looks at the gospel now. Instead of being the power of God unto salvation that delivers you from the power of sin. It don't do that. And not the gospel they're preaching now. It don't do that. It's not got that life-changing power. The kingdom of God is seldom preached anymore. It's only a catchphrase from the Bible that we give very little thought to and don't even mention, and don't consider. We don't even incorporate it in our presentation of the gospel, our thinking of the gospel. We don't even think about it. The emphasis of the preaching and teaching is how it'll benefit selfish, sinful people to believe. If they just believe, it opens up everything. You got all these different views, you know. Some of them think that if you're just a believer, why? You can just pray and God will do it. I mean, God becomes your servant. And you just command him and he does what you say. If you just believe, you got healing. If you're sick, you're out of the will of God. You don't have to be sick. Yeah, they really believe that stuff. And they join up because that's theirs for the taking if they join up. It's like the perks and the benefits if you get saved. You know, if you'll join the church, if you'll become a Christian, then all of this is yours. And that's what it's become. The gospel presented that way. You got to, and churches for years have just went to giving away stuff to get people to come to church. You know, it got so far out of hand, like up there at Hiles' deal, they was giving away cars and diamond rings and cash. And, you know, stuff like that. Lots of churches went into that, giving away TVs and bicycles and money. You just come to church. That's not the kingdom of God. Let me hurry. The emphasis the Word of God puts on the preaching of the kingdom of God, like we saw in all those verses that I read a lot more verses than I usually do, because I wanted you to see that the Bible puts a lot of emphasis on preaching the kingdom of God, and not so much on all the on what men nowadays put the emphasis on. Because the Word of God puts that emphasis on preaching the kingdom, it shows us that we're to have a greater view of what God's doing than just how it benefits or affects my earthly life. When you think about salvation, your salvation, when you think about Christ and the gospel and being saved in heaven, where do you land in there? I mean, in your mind, where do you focus? You know, do you focus on how happy you are since you've been saved? Do you focus on all that God has done for you? Now, we ought to be thankful. Yeah, ought to remember what God's done for us. Be thankful for it. We ought to tell other people what God's done for us. Give God the glory. But we ought to have a bigger view than that. It shouldn't stop there. That shouldn't be where we live all the time. That shouldn't be our presentation of the gospel to other people to tell them all about what God done for me. That does not have the power that preaching the kingdom of God does. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. When he told those disciples, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Oh, it did. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. They preached with power. The Word of God had great power. Then gave the apostles witness with great power. I mean, it wasn't mealy-mouthed, weak. It wasn't ineffective. I mean, it brought the crowd to their knees. People that had crucified the Lord. People who'd been enemies of the whole thing. Paul was one of them. I mean, brought them to their knees. Power. Wouldn't you like to be able to testify to somebody? To tell them about God and with power? Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had that experience? Well, it's different, let me tell you. It's different than just struggling and forcing it and just saying the things you've been trained to say in soul winning class. It's altogether different when the Holy Ghost goes before you and brings you to somebody and opens the door for you to talk. Oh, my goodness, it's so different. I mean, it just pours out of you. And God works through you when God's involved in it. Now, if we want God involved in it, we just got to do it His way. That's what I'm telling you this stuff for tonight. We ain't doing it right. Most people are just not doing it right. In one sense, we got to look at the kingdom of God as something yet to come. Now, you know, it's hard to express all this. We've been preaching about this. The kingdom of God is within you. We enter the kingdom of God here in this life, in this earth. We enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has been preached since John the Baptist. And Jesus talked about it as if it were now. But I preached that one message on the kingdom of God now. And it's during this church age what the kingdom of God, I mean, the kingdom is being populated. The kingdom is being prepared up there. You know, the kingdom's being prepared. And come, thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. So he's working on a place. He says he's going to prepare a place for us. The kingdom. We got to look at it in one sense as it's yet to come. We're in the middle of this thing. You ain't seeing the finished thing. And so we shouldn't present the gospel as, look at me, I'm the finished product. See what God can do? We talk about trophies of grace. Oh my goodness. You know, where does that put the focus? On me. I'm a trophy. What do you think of this? anything about what God's done here? That does not have any power with people. Causes people to think, that's what it does. Somebody that doesn't believe, somebody that's hostile toward God, somebody that's still in their sin, they think, you think you're better than us. I've heard them say, had a sinner tell me that not very long ago. People in church say, you get Christian, they think they're better than everybody else. They think they're better than me. That's what you do. That's the message that you convey. Be much better telling about Jesus. Be much better telling about Him, what He did, what He's doing now, and what He's going to do in the future. Keep them pointed to Jesus instead of to us. But we've been trained to boast about what He's done for us. Well, I'm glad for everything He's done for us. For me? Oh, yes. I'm very thankful. More than I can express with words. But that's not going to win people to God. They're just going to count me as a braggart and a boaster and arrogant. That's what they're going to think. We enter the kingdom here by being born again, which ensures that we turn from sin and self-worship to holiness and worshiping God. Now you got it. You can't enter the kingdom unless you're born again. Remember preaching on that? You got to be converted. You got to be born again. That ensures that you're going to be holy and you're going to turn from your sin. Yeah, you don't get born again and continue in your sin. No.
That's right.
You don't get born again and continue to live as a profane person. You're holy. Now, we've proved that over and over and over from what the Bible says. It's very plain about that. So you've entered the kingdom. We're sanctified here and made ready to inherit the kingdom at that point in the future when the kingdoms of this world are abolished and Christ's kingdom is literally set up and made manifest. There's coming that time. See, if we're going to preach the kingdom of God, that's part of it. This is not it, folks. This is not what you see now. The United States government thinks it's eternal. That ain't eternal. The kingdoms of this world are going to come to an end. See, that's what they preached. Christ is the king. Remember Pilate said, art thou a king? He said, well, that's what I was born for. That cause came I into the world. Yes, I'm a king. But not like you're thinking. I'm a king, but one day he is going to be. I mean, it's going to be manifested that he is Lord of lords and King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord of all. That's who we serve. That's what we ought to preach. This is not this meek, lowly Jesus that they crucified on the cross. He's not on the cross. He's risen. He's ascended to heaven. He's glorified. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, preparing to come back as the King of kings and Lord of lords to set up his kingdom that we're preparing for right now, that we're a part of right now, that we're supposed to be preaching about right now. What in the world did Paul say for 3 months about the kingdom of God? A lot more than I'm saying in these few little sermons I'm preaching about it, I guarantee you. There's a lot more to say about it than what I'm saying, than we can even think about. He preached about the kingdom of God and told them, all right, we need a different mindset about what we're a part of concerning God and His kingdom. We need to think about whether we have entered the kingdom of God or not. Right here and now. We need to think about that. You need to think about that. Have you entered the kingdom? Are you in? Now. Because it's here we decide. It's here that is determined. Everybody's not going to walk up to the gate one day and to find out if they're in or not. That's not the way it works. If you've entered in, you know it. If you've not entered in, you know it. We need to think about and study to learn what the future holds concerning the kingdom of God. You need to think about right here and now. What about the kingdom of God? Are you part of it? Have you entered in? Think about the future. What is it going to be? in the future. Well, we can't know every detail, but we can know enough. We can know more than we can handle, I'll guarantee you that. If you just study your Bible and start thinking and studying and praying about it. And we need to have the long look about the matter, not just how current events are related to the coming of the Lord and His kingdom. You ought to forget all that junk. I've learned that. You know, everybody's just keen of picking at what's going on in the world and these current events, and you can do that for 1,000 years. You know, we need to forget all that. We need to be thinking about the kingdom of God. We need to have a long look, you see. That was the mistake the religious leaders made at His first coming. Don't you see that? They were looking for Him to set up His kingdom at that time. They thought that the kingdom of God would come immediately. Remember we read that verse the other day? They were expecting it immediately. You're the king. The king's come. All right, here we go. Didn't happen. Same way now. People are looking around at all the signs, and He's coming, He's coming. I remember way back in 84, the guy wrote a book, 84 Reasons Why Jesus Is Coming in 84, why the rapture is going to happen in 84. Well, 80 or 88, was it? It was 88, wasn't it? And didn't happen. And how many times since then has somebody wrote a book, got on TV, hyped it up? You know, they figured it out through all of their numerology and all the current events, and it's this was, and the stars are lining up and the planets and everything, and they've just figured it out. How many times they figured it out and it didn't happen? Need to not pay no attention to that stuff. We need to have the long look. Jesus is coming. And if you don't watch, you miss Him. That's what He said. You got to be ready. You better be watching. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. You're not going to be thinking He's going to come right now when He comes. That's what He said very plainly. So don't, you know, build where they all gather together, a compound, and get inside and look at the sky waiting on Him to come. He ain't going to come riding no comet. He ain't going to come in a spaceship. He's not going to come when the planets align a certain way to let Him in. He ain't going to come that way. He's going to come in such a time as you think not. Such an hour as you think not. All right? When we talk to other people, you know, we need to see, first of all, we need to see the beyond the end of the earth and its kingdoms, not stay caged in this box of time and space. We're looking through a glass darkly, and boy, we got the world in our way when we're trying to see the kingdom of God. It's beyond this world. It's beyond the end of this world. We think, well, the end of the world, that's the end of everything. No, it ain't. The world's going to end. The heavens going to be rolled together as a scroll. Heaven and earth are going to fly away, pass away. Ain't going to be found. Going to be gone. They're not going to exist anymore. But the kingdom of God is.
That's right.
You need to look at it that way. You need to think of it that way. This is all going to burn up. Everything's going to burn up. But the kingdom of God is going to go on. You ought to be a part of something that's going to last. Amen. Last beyond this world. When we talk to other people about the things of God and salvation, we need to be able to express a bigger view than just our present happiness or the improvement of our earthly life that being a Christian has brought to us. Because we're so shallow in our knowledge of the kingdom of God, our presentation of our King to other people is usually a very feeble and weak presentation. We don't present Him in His glory. We present Him pitifully. Pitifully. Best we can do is try to show off something He's done for us instead of present Him to them in His glory. You know whose name you're using as a cuss word? Do you know that one of these days you're going to bow, your knees are going to bow before this one you're talking about like He's nobody? Your tongue is going to confess, your tongue is going to say, Jesus is Lord of lords. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. That's right. That's what the Bible says. And it is true. That's preaching the kingdom. You see, when Paul said that, he's preaching the kingdom. He's preaching the whole thing. He's telling them there's something happening in the future about this. We just put the focus on right now. Do you believe? Here's this and this and this and this. Now, do you believe? What about the consequences? Well, we tell them, you know, if we work up enough nerve and we think we can get away with it, we'll tell them, well, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe. That don't scare them too bad, does it? Because we're so shallow and all that, then we've left off the solemn warnings of each person facing God in judgment while we tell them about how good we feel now that we're saved. The first great awakening in America happened when Jonathan Edwards preached this message. How many of you know the name of the message? Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. What was he preaching? The kingdom of God. He was telling you how this thing's going to end. We don't preach to sinners how it's going to end. We just preach to them about here, right here now. Wouldn't you like to be saved? Wouldn't you like to have Jesus in your life? I mean, he'll take away your problems. I've heard it said that way. He'll take away all your problems. He'll solve all your problems. He'll bless you. Your life will just be blessings, blessings, blessings. That's the way the gospel's presented. Far cry from sinners in the hands of an angry God. Said people were falling in the floor, crying out. I've read where Finney preached for weeks and months, never given invitation. And people be on the floor crying and begging for mercy. And he just walk out. Leave them to God. He preached to them about the wrath of God to come. About the consequences if you fool around and don't enter the kingdom, what's going to happen to you one of these days. That there is a God and that you will face him and you will give account. We leave that off. People are not afraid of judgment anymore because it's not talked about. We just talk about how God loves everybody. How God's so patient and kind and loving and merciful. We just rejoice in his mercy and in his patience and in his kindness and in his grace. Leave off the rest of that stuff. It's negative. Well, we left off the solemn warnings. We talk about receiving Jesus and professing faith in Christ, which are powerless phrases invented by men to try to make it easier to get converts. That's all they are. You don't hear Jesus mentioning that anytime, or any of the apostles. They never told anybody to let Jesus come into their heart. They never told anybody to just make a profession of faith. Never referred to those who believed as they made a profession of faith. Never made any kind of statement. That's inventions of men. And they're powerless. Powerless. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So to preach the kingdom of God is a much more powerful and effective message than to tell what God has done for us personally. Amen. I keep repeating that, but need to get that. We need to focus more on what God is doing or going to do in the future. That's what we need to focus more on. If we're going to preach the kingdom of God, we got to look into the future and we got to focus more on what's coming. Don't just tell people. And even people who get saved, they need to hear preaching on the kingdom of God. We need to be reminded of where we're going with this thing. Where this thing's headed to. Where we're headed to, since we're a part of it, if we're a part of it, we need to be reminded of it often. We need to focus more on what God is going to do in the future, not on particulars of prophecy and how we believe it's going to play out, but on what we know for sure. You hear me? We shouldn't try to, you know, I'm telling you, as your pastor You shouldn't even give the time of day to all these prophecy preachers on the radio and TV and the internet that just try to get things down to precise order. I'm telling you, we don't know. God made sure that we don't know exactly how. He's told us all we need to know. We know we're in the last days. We know. I know because of the state the world's in. I don't know because of particulars about what's going on with Turkey and Israel and all that right now. That just changes, ever changes. It's on and on and on. It might be the time. Probably ain't, though. It's a poor gauge. I can look at the kingdom of God and the state that the church is in, and I can tell more surely from that we're right at the door than I can from those current events over there. Some things we do know. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." When they talked about the kingdom of God, that's what he's talking about. How are you going to have judgment unless there's an authority overall and you come face to face with him, the authority? See? You see my point there? I mean, this ain't an earthly judge that you're going to give account to. It's not another man. It's God. That's where we're all headed. Romans chapter 14, verse 12, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." That ought to be preached. Preachers ought to preach that. They ought to make sure that all the children, fathers and mothers ought to make sure their children know that they are going to face God one of these days with every idle word they say and every sneaky thing they do and every lie they tell. They need to get it in them from the time they're little. You need to have a fear in your soul about doing wrong. And it's all right to teach your kids that if they do wrong, they something awful going to happen to them, because it is. They may get away with it for years, may get away with it all their life here, but they're going to face God and give account and be punished for it. Need to put the fear of God in the children from the time they're little, and it needs to be in the rest of us too. Hebrews 13, 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief." I mean, submit yourselves to those that have authority over you. They watch for your souls. Now that includes everybody, your mom and dad. That's who that's talking about. That's talking about the church. The elders of the church, the pastor of the church, you ought to respect it, because they have to give account for your soul. And what they say to you and how they care for you, how they lead you, they got to give account to God one of these days. You ought to respect that and make it easy for them. That they can do it with joy and not with grief. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead." All right, I'm just read those three verses there just to show you, three or four, to show you that that's what the Bible talks about. There's a judgment coming. All right, now I want to read you a couple more verses here and then we'll be done. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10. This is Paul. It's a good example of him preaching the kingdom of God. Listen. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." There's Jesus. He died on the cross. God became a man. He died on the cross. "Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him." Now see, we stop right there. He died on the cross for your sin. Don't you want to trust him as your Savior? And "wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." There. Bow. Bow. He's the King. He's the only potentate. He's the all-powerful one. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That's him. That's the Savior. That's the one that died on the cross. rose from the dead, who made an atonement for our sins, who made a way for us to be forgiven and reconciled to God. That's Him. But He's the High. He's the Almighty God. He's the one that's going to judge the quick and the dead. You're going to face Him. It ain't so easy as presenting Him as loving and kind and gentle and forgiving. And don't you want Him? Don't you want to just have a relationship with Him? And we're leaving out part of it. Leaving out part of it, if that's all we tell people. When you present the gospel to somebody, you got to tell them the rest of the story. He ain't the one that they crucified. And I mean, that's not how He is now. He's glorified. He's alive forevermore. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And the next time you see Him, you're going to know it.
Right. Amen.
Yep, He's coming back to there. I remember Kenny preaching a message years ago. He's coming back, and He's coming back mad to tread out the winepress of the wrath and fierceness of Almighty God. The kingdom. He's coming back as a king. Not just any old king, the King, with a capital K. We need to preach Him like that. We need to present Him like that. We need to live our life like that, in light of that. Here's another example, Acts chapter 2, verse 16 through 37. This is Peter preaching the kingdom of God. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Simple. There's your sentence. Preach the kingdom of God. Don't you see? He didn't tell them, do y'all know you're sinners? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stole anything? Have you ever looked at a woman to lust after? He didn't do that. What did He say? He said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. You're in trouble, boys. You killed Him, but He ain't dead. Now what are you going to do? I always thought about craziness of people. I seen a sign one time here a while back, and it was a guy in a crowd of protesters, and he had a sign that said, if Jesus comes back, kill Him again. That's modern. But in the Bible, I read where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and those crazy fools were trying to kill Lazarus after He rose from the dead. I mean, come on. He died once, and Jesus rose Him from the dead. You going to kill Him again? Think He's going to work this time better? You know what's the matter with you? He has power over death. That's more than you got.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. You see?
Preaching the kingdom of God brings the whole picture into focus for those that hear it. They're forced to hear that they'll stand before the King, Jesus, one day and give account of their sinful life here on this earth. And preaching the watered-down modern version of the gospel leaves unbelievers thinking that they've just opted out and they don't have to worry about facing God.
You see what I mean? They really do feel that way. We leave them by presenting them with this loving, kind, gentle Jesus and leaving out the rest of it. They think, well, it's a take it or leave it deal. I'll leave it. They think, well, they can just opt out of that and there's no consequences. No, there's consequences. We're living in a world where it's offensive to most church people to even say that Jesus is the only way. There's none other name given among men under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by Him. Now, you ain't going to heaven. You're not getting saved. You're not entering the kingdom unless you trust in Jesus. And He owns you. Now, that's the way it is. You got to be born again. You got to be converted. You got to become His. And there's consequences if you don't. It's like It's not like you can say no and you don't have to worry about it anymore. I mean, that's for them folks, and, you know, I'm out of it. No, you ain't going to be dead like a dog when you die. When you open your eyes after you die, 2 seconds after you die, you're going to know there's a Jesus who is the King of the universe. The kingdom of God is a much bigger matter than just how it has affected each one of us personally. It's a much bigger matter than just presenting Jesus' earthly ministry to people and then asking them to believe in Him. Preaching the kingdom of God goes beyond that. Do y'all see? I mean, I don't know if I'm able to get it across or not, but I just see that what's preached now is mostly just about Jesus' earthly ministry, and that's the gospel, and that's where we stop. That's not it. It's not the thing that the apostles preached. It's not what Jesus preached. And it's not what we should preach. We ought to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but that's not the kingdom. We need to preach the kingdom of God. Amen. All right, let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the understanding. Pray you'd help everybody to get a hold of this. And Lord, I wish I could explain things better. I wish I could be more clear. I wish I could express it in a way that's more eloquent and understandable. But Holy Spirit, I've done the best I can. I pray that you would do the rest. You can take what was said and interpret it to every heart. You can give each person, minister to each one out of this what they need. Help us, Lord, I pray, to preach the word of God. And rightly divided, help us to live it, be the right kind of testimony before the world, before our loved ones, Lord, that they can understand, see, and understand the true gospel and be saved. And Lord, I pray for everybody here. Pray everybody's in. Pray there's nobody here that's still outside the gate. Please, Lord, work in hearts that they would enter in and that they would strive until they do. Get us home, Lord, I pray safely tonight. Thank you for the rain you've sent. Lord, be pleased to send more. We'd be thankful. Give us a safe trip home. Lord, guide and direct us through the next few days until we can meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.